The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into NFL Live. We'll begin with our developing story broken by none other than Adam Schefter earlier this morning. Schefter tweeting, this offseason, the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a two-year contract extension that would have tied him to Green Bay for five more seasons. It made him the highest-paid QB and player in football. Rodgers declined the offer. Proof, it's not about the money. And no one better to bring in to discuss the matter further than Adam Schefter himself. So, Schefter, I ask you, what more can you tell us about this ever-percolating situation between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Well, Field, we knew that they made him a contract extension offer at some point during the offseason. What we didn't know, and what's new today, is that it turned out to be a two-year contract extension that would have tied Aaron Rodgers to Green Bay for five more seasons at record numbers. It would have made him the highest paid quarterback in football. It would have made him the highest paid player in football. And Aaron Rodgers was not interested in extending the contract. If anything, Aaron Rodgers is interested in reducing that contract, finding a way out of Green Bay. This is yet the latest example of Aaron Rodgers not wanting to be in Green Bay. Some people have wondered, is this a situation where Aaron Rodgers is just seeking more control in Green Bay? He wants to be in control of his own destiny in Green Bay, be able to determine when he is ready to leave. Well, the answer is he's ready to leave now. The question is the team does not want him to go, and conversations between the two sides are and have been ongoing to see if there's some sort of resolution that can bring Aaron Rodgers back this year. I know a lot of his former teammates, friends, think that eventually he will be back. I think there are a lot of questions that still are left to be answered, and I don't know that Aaron Rodgers has made up his mind just yet about what he does and doesn't want to do, but clearly the clock on Aaron Rodgers' future is running. It's hard to imagine him in Green Bay beyond this season, if he even plays there this season, but these are questions that will begin to unfold in the next week with the Packers scheduled to report to training camp 1 week from today.
Yeah, Schefter, on the doorstep of training camp, and the biggest story of the offseason remains unresolved. He's with us for the entire show. We'll have more from Adam in just a moment. We're going to bring in Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes. And Dan, we'll start with you. What's your reaction to this development in the never-ending Aaron Rodgers saga?
The same I had when Schefter broke the news, NFL draft week. Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be in Green Bay. Now, I will say this. I got four kids, Field. My boys are older, and I tell my boys all the time, don't make people guess how you feel or what you want. Just tell them, because that makes it easiest. And what I want from Aaron and what I want from the Packers is to hear it from their mouths. I want Aaron to say, hey, I'm done. I'm out. And I know Schefter has stated that. But then I want the Packers to say and come out, we're not doing anything at all. Because at the end of the day, like for me, there's got to be a line of demarcation for both parties. Okay, this reminds me probably a lot of a divorce between a husband and a wife. Everybody's not going to get exactly what they want. But where is the point where both parties get something, right? Like Aaron's not going to get exactly what he wants, and the Packers aren't going to get exactly what they want. But where's the line where they each get something out of this situation? I would be shocked if Aaron Rodgers sat out this whole football season. I would be equally as shocked if Aaron Rodgers started 17-plus games for the Packers this year. I think their season is ruined no matter what when it comes to championships. Ooh. Because of this situation. Because if he comes back, this isn't a good situation. This isn't a healthy situation. And obviously, if he's not there, this is a significantly less football team when it comes to their championship run.
Yeah, Dan, it's been 83 days since Adam Schefter broke that story. I went back and I counted. 83 days. I sound like the old lady in Titanic. It's been 84 years. But that's how long it's been, and it feels longer because we have spent those 83 days speculating, trying to understand desperately what it is that Aaron Rodgers wants, why he's upset, what it would take to either bring him back for a season or to let him go for, on the part of Green Bay. And today, with this latest revelation from Adam, I think we got a little bit closer to that answer, knowing that no amount of money or contract extension, regardless of the structure, would solve that problem. So now, with that information, the question becomes, is there a compromise that brings him back for one more year, whether it's moving some money around or, you know, restructuring that deal and giving him an exit after this season? That is still to be determined to me, because to me, like, you talked about them meeting in the middle. The question is, okay, would he consider coming back for a season, or does Green Bay actually have to come up with some sort of, you know, plan for him not being there this year? And we still don't know the answer to that question.
And let's be very clear about this also when we look at it. If we go back and look, the Packers officials have made multiple trips to visit with Aaron Rodgers this offseason. There have been multiple in-person meetings. There's been a new contract offer extended to him. There's been new money extended to him. The distinction of being the highest paid player in football. These talks and conversations have gone on for months now. Months. And we are a week away from training camp and do not appear to be any closer to a resolution. So it doesn't look like anything that Green Bay can do right now, short of moving him to another team that's going to make Aaron Rodgers happy. But he has told players, and he's told former players, that he doesn't plan to play there. Now, again, we'll see how it shakes out this upcoming season, and we begin to get the first pressure point 1 week from today at the start of training camp. That's when it gets real, real, but it's already really real right now.
Yeah, and it takes me back to those 83 days ago, Shefty, when we were on set talking, and I was like, I just don't think there's anything that the Packers can do. And to your point, they have tried multiple things. Whether they're genuine tries or not, that's for other people to kind of make the speculation on. But they've tried. I think the reality is this. The Packers, whether they start 3-0 with Aaron Rodgers or 3-0 without Aaron Rodgers, have to start believing that he's for real. That this isn't just a play. That this isn't just a threat or talk. Like I said, I would be shocked if he skipped the whole season. But what do they do if he doesn't show up for week one and they go 0-1? And then they go 0-2? And then they go 0-3? Like, what do they do? Or flip it. Because my brain goes to, well, this is still a good football team, solid team. Yeah. What do they do if they go 3-0? Are then they more likely or inclined to go, Aaron, we will now trade you? You know, there's just so much unknown attached to it.
And to your point before, Dan, no matter what Aaron Rodgers decides to do here, and I don't know if he's made up his mind, if he doesn't show, the issue in question hangs over the team. If he does show, the issue still hangs over the team.
Correct.
It's there.
Correct.
It's not going away, and the team is going to have to deal with it one way or another this season, unless they decide to trade him, which they've been adamant that they will not do right now.
Well, the Aaron Rodgers saga continues. It may for a while longer. Dan, don't let me think that I didn't catch that little line you had about never seen Titanic. We're going to get into that on NFL Live at some point. But more importantly,
never seen it.
Rams running back Cam Akers is out for the season. Can Darrell Henderson step up to be the guy for LA? We discuss their options coming up. Plus, the Buccaneers have arrived at the White House, and Tom Brady is front and center of it all. We've got you covered in Washington. Don't go anywhere. But before we go to break, some trivia. At 43 years and 351 days old, Tom Brady is older now than two presidents at the time of their inauguration. Which two was it? Think it over during the break. We'll be back with the answer on NFL Live. Another one
bites the dust. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, let's pay off some trivia. The question was, Tom Brady is older than which two presidents at the time of their inauguration? I'm going to turn it over to our analysts. Does anybody have a guess? Dan, you are itching to answer here.
One is the teddy bear.
Get in, UConn.
Teddy Roosevelt. That's
okay.
Easy.
All right.
Two is it's not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
There is no safer bet in sports right now than Dan Orlovsky using Google over the past four minutes. With all due respect, you 100% Googled that, but well done by you, Dan Orlovsky. It was indeed.
From Connecticut.
That's true.
Of course I know Kennedy.
I'm impressed. Well done by you.
Do you not see those glasses, Phil?
I know. The glasses, those are just fake smartness on Dan's eyes. Don't anybody take the bait on that one. At least we had Nina, because we knew she would have nailed it as well. So the Bucks made their first trip of the season. It was a road trip. They visited the White House on Tuesday to commemorate their Super Bowl title. And while most of the traveling party had their first appearance at the White House today, offensive tackle Donovan Smith reminded us that Tom Brady has been like once or twice before.
Hey, you got residency here?
What's up?
You got residency here?
Pretty good point, actually, by Donovan Smith, is Tom Brady's been to the White House not one, not two, not three, not four, five, six, seven times. We know he's, of course, won seven separate Lombardi trophies. Not bad for a once unheralded prospect out of the University of Michigan. Time now for us to welcome in Jenna Lane, who was actually at the White House today. Jenna, tell us more about the events that took place today with the Super Bowl champs.
Field, the theme for today's Bucks White House celebration was the importance of coming together to do extraordinary things. President Joe Biden praised the Buccaneers for not folding and digging deep despite the fact that they were sitting at 7-5 towards the end of the season before they roared into the postseason, while also praising them for vaccinating over 200,000 people and conducting a voting registration drive. But there were some lighter moments too, between the oldest president to be inaugurated and the NFL's oldest active quarterback.
Tom, looking at you, got about 20 more years left. You're just about the best ever to play.
Sports has an amazing way of bringing people together. If you look at us, we're all a little bit different ages. I'm a little older than most of them. But we come from a lot of different places across the country, a lot of different schools, a lot of different backgrounds. But we love each other. We're committed to one another. And when you do that, amazing things happen.
Brady had plenty of jokes, including challenging 11 White House interns to a scrimmage on that South Lawn. He said, "We fully intend to run it up on you guys. Get ready to go." Back to you, Field.
Great stuff, Jenna. As always, Tom Brady can be cutthroat with a personal, lighthearted touch. All right, so Adam, you had Tom Brady's confidant and personal trainer and life coach, Alex Guerrero, on your podcast recently, and you asked him about Brady continuing to play until the age of 45. What were his thoughts?
Well, Alex said that Tom Brady had a stated goal at the beginning of his career to play until he's 45, and Tom turns 44 next month. So I asked Alex if that meant that Tom could be expected to play at least two more years. And Alex said that's the plan right now. Yes, that's what he expects. He believes that Brady will play at least two more years. So this very well may not be the last season for Tom Brady. He may have more opportunities at the White House. And the idea was to reach out to Alex Guerrero, literally to talk about how he has been able to help Tom get to this spot. But of course, that came up during the course of the conversation. And if he thinks at least two more years, there's probably a pretty good chance that happens.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, Mina, if Brady is still playing for at least two more years, how long can the Bucks keep this thing going?
Well, look, I made a rule for myself that I would never try to anticipate when Tom Brady is going to decline. So I'm not going to do that today. But what I can do is look at the roster. And something that's driven everyone crazy who roots for other teams over the last over the summer is, how did the Bucks bring everyone back? It seems really unfair and impossible. Well, part of their ability to bring all of their stars back stems from the fact that they structured the contract so that they could fit them all under the roster now. But after this season, it gets a lot harder. Mm-hmm. For example, Shaq Barrett this year, his cap hit, star pass rusher, is $5 million. In 2022, that jumps to $19 million. We don't know the future for guys like Rob Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, who's playing on the tag this year. So in my opinion, this roster is optimized to win this season, but beyond that, it will get a bit more challenging regardless of Tom Brady's status.
You mentioned this season, Mina. So we all know that this is the team to beat in the NFC, and I think there's two things that if they don't get back to the Super Bowl could derail them. One is in their control and one is out of their control. In their control is complacency. And my mind goes to that Giannis clip that went viral last week when he's in that post-game press conference. He's talking about, okay, what I when I think of the things I did in the past, I went from 40 and 10. In the Bucks case, it's like, oh, we just won the Super Bowl. That's their ego talking. And then them saying, well, we're going to go run it back or we're going to go win it, that's the pride talking. And as good of a job as they can of just being in the moment, that's their humility talking. And it's great that they've got Tom as their the face of their franchise and the leader to make sure that everyone keeps that mindset, because it's brutally hard. I mean, we know it's brutally hard to try and win one game in the NFL. I know that very, very clearly. But to go and win back-to-back Super Bowls is even more challenging. So that's the one that they can control. The one that they can't control is the injuries. I mean, this team was as injury-free when it came to like really impactful guys last year as anybody in the NFL. They were the healthiest team in the NFL when it comes to games lost for their starters when it comes to injury. There's no surprise or no shock that they obviously went on to win the Super Bowl. It's unlikely that you keep that for 2 years in a row. That's out of their control. If they do, they'll be back in the Super Bowl.
Well, and as we know, the Bucs with Tom Brady should not get complacent, but we'll see. Every year is a new challenge. They begin their training camp. They report for training camp on Saturday. First practice is Sunday, July 25th. The countdown is officially on. Let's go back to Shefty and plenty of news and notes from around the league. Shefty, what do you have for us?
Well, interesting development last night at a Las Vegas field. The longtime Raiders president, Mark Bedain, who's been with the organization for over 30 years, the right-hand man for Raiders owner Mark Davis, resigned last night. He said, once a Raider, always a Raider, but he felt like it was time to move on. He was instrumental in helping the team get to Las Vegas, build a stadium there, and now, with the season upon us, Bedain made the surprising news that he's moving on. And, of course, there's very sad news out in California. The Jets passing game coordinator Greg Knapp, an NFL veteran coach, was struck by a car this weekend while he was riding a bicycle. I'm told that it may have been a teenager who was texting at the time. He is in critical condition in the hospital, clinging to his life right now. It is very dire, and everybody around the league is thinking and pulling for Greg Knapp.
And that includes, of course, Jets current head coach Robert Saleh, who released the following statement. Quote, Greg is such an amazing individual. It is hard to imagine the challenge facing him and his family. Greg's fun nature, kind disposition, and wealth of knowledge has allowed him to make genuine connections with all of our coaches, players, and staff since he has been here. I ask that you all keep him in your prayers as we all pull for him to recover from this horrific accident. Dan, you have a personal connection to Greg Knapp. What more can you tell us about the man he is?
Yeah, I was super fortunate to be coached by him. I would say this, Knapper embodies everything that an assistant coach in the NFL should. And what I mean by that is the joy of investing into your players. He was a coach that first made me feel like, okay, I belong. And then second, the investment as a person into the player to see him grow and develop. Forget the football. Just the investment of the person, the joy he had in doing that, is exactly what every assistant coach in the NFL should embody. He's so well respected in the league, and he's obviously in our thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All the best to Greg Knapp and his family during this very difficult and trying time. Still more to come ahead on NFL Live, which includes the Pittsburgh Steelers filling a major hole on their defense with their latest free agency signing. Can Melvin Ingram help bring back the Steel Curtain defense next season? Find out on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN Fantasy Football is back, and with the season right around the corner, get your league set now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball. The Rams were dealt a devastating blow earlier today with news that starting running back Cam Akers will be out for the season after suffering a torn Achilles. The second-year pro is expected to take on a workhorse back in the L.A. backfield and lead the way for a new-look Rams offense with Matthew Stafford under center. Rams head coach Sean McVay joined ESPN Radio earlier today and weighed in on the news.
The first thing is you just feel so bad for him because he's doing everything right, Max. He's working hard. The immediacy of it is your first inclination is, okay, who do we have to replace it? And then what you do feel good about is we've got some young depth on the roster, and it'll earn guys an opportunity to really see, all right, how do they handle a little bit more of a workload? We've got some young backs on our roster that I'm intrigued about seeing how they handle this opportunity. I don't know that the veteran route is something that we would rule out, but it's not something that we're immediately looking to address right now.
Cam Akers himself posted this on Twitter. Quote, I just want to thank any and every person sending prayers my way and wishing me well. I hate this happened, but I'm in great spirits, and I understand God makes no mistakes. I'll be back better than ever in no time. I'm a soldier. Again, thank you. All right, Samina, obviously, one of the outstanding preseason game analysts for the Los Angeles Rams. You know this team and specifically the running back depth chart better than anybody.
Let's go.
How crucial is this injury for the Los Angeles Rams?
Well, Field, this is brutal for both the Rams and for Akers, who really started to break out at the end of last season. Powerful vat back and I think a rising star, so that's awful news. I think for Los Angeles moving forward, there's a couple of questions I have. The assumption is that Darrell Henderson, who was the third round pick from a couple of years ago, is going to step up and be the full-time starter now. I really like Henderson. I think he's an extremely efficient option for them. But I wonder, one, whether he can handle the workload, and two, how he's going to be used. Because the Los Angeles run game has evolved in recent years. And last year, McVay started integrating more gap concepts. But he used Akers for a lot of those runs. I want to see if Henderson, who did that in college, by the way, at Memphis, if he's used the same way as well and they can continue to diversify that rushing attack. My second question is depth, because behind Henderson, man, that is a lot of young players. You know, Malcolm Brown, who was a very efficient veteran, he's gone now. And as you can see here, there are names that are probably not known around the NFL very well. So I'll be curious to see if the Rams feel that any of these guys can step up and be that second option, or if, as McVay alluded to, they feel the need to go out and look at some free agents in the market.
Now, they do not feel that need. They feel like they have guys in their roster who can do the job until further notice. Now, they'll go to training camp and see how these guys perform. And then running back, there's surplus around the league. They can always find another running back. But I can tell you that when you look at that list, we might not recognize those names. They don't mean a lot to a lot of fans. But I can tell you that not only do they like Darrell Henderson, but Xavier Jones is somebody that made the roster last year as an undrafted free agent that they happen to like, that they want to get a look at this upcoming summer. And Jake Funk is a seventh-round draft pick from Maryland who once torched Michigan in a game. And I think they feel like Jake Funk can be like a baby McCaffrey. That was the way it was described to me today. Baby McCaffrey. Now, is he going to be Christian McCaffrey? No, he's a seventh-round draft pick. But they like him, and it just gives you an idea that they like Jones, they like Funk, they like some of these other backs. And I think they're going to get a long look at these other players before they decide to go bring in a veteran free agent.
There are already enough McCaffrey brothers playing college football. I can't afford another one to have to keep up and track going forward. So Jake Funk can be Jake Funk. How about that going forward? Dan, does this injury to Cam Akers put more on both Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's collective plate?
I'd say more on Sean McVay than it does Matthew Stafford. I'd say this for the Rams, Field. One, don't panic. Don't panic. Number two, you still got offensive line. A good one. And three, this is partly why you went and got Matthew Stafford. I had said one of the things that Matthew Stafford would bring to this football team is when the run game isn't dominant, can you still dominate through the air? And Matthew Stafford has the ability to do that. Now, listen, I want to choose my words properly here with this whole Cam Akers situation, because I was a huge fan of his. Mina mentioned the scheme kind of transition from really the zone to a gap. I don't want to say this could be a blessing in disguise, but it's something along those lines, because I really believe that they need to go back to more of that zone run game. I think they need to keep the quarterback under center, and they need to utilize that play action, deep ball, and chunk passing game off the zone inside and outside game. And Shefty mentions, well, we might not see those names as household names. I played in this system. A lot of people didn't know Terrell Davis as a household name, or Arian Foster, or Steve Slayton, or Raheem Mostert or Arthur Morris. But those guys played in that zone scheme, and the scheme transcends talent. It makes the player elevated. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think that this could force Sean to sit back and go, okay, I got a superstar at quarterback. I got good pieces on the outside. Maybe I'll pull back a little bit from that gap scheme, lean into the zone a little bit more, help our pass game, but also be able to just plug in backs and know in that zone game that it's proven.
So essentially, Dan, what you're saying is let's just run it back to 2018 because Matt Stafford would be a great fit for that offense. Not exactly, but a lot of the things we saw that they were so successful with, integrate Stafford, and now you got a deep threat with Jackson or Atwell, which you didn't have last season, and suddenly the game, you know, opens up to him because he has the personnel to execute it as he initially wanted to.
Well, everybody on Twitter has reminded me.
You made this point.
Oh, go ahead, Dan.
Real quick, Field, Mina made this point before on the call, and I think it's an important one as well, that those backs, because of the lack of the threat in the pass game, had to run against stacked box, right? An extra defender down near the ball. Well, now hopefully it flips, and that pass game opens defenses up a little bit, and those backs, Darrell Henderson specifically, are going to run against less people down near the line of scrimmage. That should also help the run game.
And let me just say this also, Field, that the Rams offense, this offense, once lost Todd Gurley at the peak of his career, signed C.J. Anderson off the street and turned C.J. Anderson into a playoff star.
Yep, well, the Rams will certainly find a way, but a tough blow for Cam Akers, who wish him well in his recovery. The Steelers have dipped their toe into free agency recently on a couple different occasions. Most notably, over the past day, they added Melvin Ingram, the former Chargers edge rusher, to a one-year deal. He battled injuries last season. He didn't have a single sack, but he's healthier now and hopeful to provide some depth alongside, amongst others, All-Pro T.J. Watt. So the Steelers lost several key defenders from their 2020 roster, including former first-round pick Bud Dupree and versatile defensive back Mike Hilton, who went to the division rival Bengals. Linebacker Avery Williamson and cornerback Steven Nelson, as of right now, both remain unsigned. Mina, what are your thoughts on the addition of Melvin Ingram joining Trey Turner as former Bolts, who are now Steelers?
Hey. Great for both him and the team. I think it's a perfect fit. And you said the key word, which is depth. Ingram doesn't have to come in and be the guy. Not only does he get to play with Watt, but also gets to play with Hayward, Tuitt, Highsmith. He can be used situationally. And if he's healthy, he's still got a lot to offer this Steelers front seven that was already dangerous to begin with.
I think the big point is understanding he's not playing 60 snaps a game like Melvin Ingram has. 25 snaps, 20 snaps a game, situational pass rush, a guy opposite T.J. Watt. Because here's the thing, he's still good enough to make an offense think, okay, do we want to single him up for potentially a tight end or a back and pay attention to T.J. Watt? And if not, then that's a better opportunity for T.J. Watt. So I think it's a really good signing because they're not going to ask him to be 2016 Ingram. Just be a good situational pass rusher.
Well, the Steelers are hoping to find some late free agency value as they have done at times in the past. So coming up here on NFL Live, we still got a lot left. And Seahawks star wide receiver, one of them, is confident his quarterback will stick around for the foreseeable future. Find out which of our analysts thinks this is the most talented team Seattle has had in a long, long time.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's our next UFC Fight Night, Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas with another stacked card. Former champ TJ Dillashaw makes his return to the octagon against second-ranked Corey Sandhagen in the bantamweight main event. Prelims start at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus, followed by the main card at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. These cards always deliver. Remember back early this offseason when Russell Wilson's future in Seattle looked uncertain? His agent shared a list to Shefty of the four teams the quarterback would approve a trade to. No trade ever came to pass, and Wilson at least appears happier now with the season drawing near. One player who was thrilled to have Russell Wilson back is Tyler Lockett, who recently got paid.
Yeah, I expect Russ to be here for the foreseeable future. Obviously, there was a lot of stuff that went on during the off season, and I think, you know, in the off season, a lot of TV shows are off. Nobody really has a lot to talk about, so they try to find things to be able to talk about. I think that Russ definitely wants to be here with us, and so we're not really too concerned or caught up with a lot of stuff that happened. We understand the aspect of business and what everything is like, especially in the NFL.
So, Mina, the Seahawks tapped into their own division by hiring Shane Waldron to be their new offensive coordinator. How can his scheme help Russell Wilson and the Seahawks succeed this year?
First, Tyler, I'd like to say we have a lot to talk about in the offseason. Like today, I would love to talk about how the Seahawks offense.
Like I feel speaking directly to me.
I know, straight to my heart. I'd like to talk about how the Seahawks offense, as you said, under Waldron can evolve, because a big part of the reason why Russell Wilson was reportedly unhappy was some of the issues with that offense down the second half of last season. And a lot of those issues had to do with, there were a number of reasons for it, but a fact that as defenses started to play them differently, as Tyler himself has said, playing more too high, the offense didn't evolve in response. And some of that wasn't all on offensive coordinator Brian Schottenheimer. Some of that was on Wilson himself. But to me, the success of this offense this year, the question of whether or not they can sort of return to the form we saw at the beginning of last season, it all depends on whether or not that evolution has happened, whether the offense can be balanced. And I'm not talking about like a run-pass ratio. I'm talking about an ability to take what the defense is giving you. If the defense is taking away the explosives like they did last year, driving down the field, getting yards after catch, which has been a major problem, I think, in the Seahawks offense for a while and is obviously something that the Rams do the best in the NFL. Can Waldron bring some of those principles with him to Seattle? More tempo, more creativity, more integration of the run and pass game. Hmm. If he can do all of those things, then given all the skill players they have, this offense should be lights out.
Yeah, Mina, one, I think it's the most talented offense that Russell's had since he became a Seahawk. I mean, we know the two receivers, Lockett and Metcalf, are spectacular. I think Eskridge out of Western Michigan is going to be huge for them. I love the addition of Gerald Everett. So, like, there's a lot of talent on this roster, specifically offensively, skill position-wise. Now, if we go back to last year, I think this offense can be just as explosive as it was for like the first two-thirds of the season last year, but not so dependent on Russell Wilson. I mean, this was such an explosive offense because Russell was so good. Like, Russell was as spectacular as any quarterback we had in the league last year, but they asked him to do so much. And I think two things need to stand out. This offense, because I know Shane Waldron, I was with him in 17, and I know this offensive scheme. They are going to give Russell easy things. I think we did a tape breakdown last year of it. Russell, take the easy stuff. And then to your point, the yards after catch. The easy stuff has to be taken from the quarterback, given to the receiver, and then do something with it, guys, because the coach will be more apt to call that stuff. So that's the first part. And the second part is this. Can they flip last year? Can they somewhat get their feet down, start a little bit solid or slow, and then build to the playoffs? Because the last 2 years, their offense has sputtered into the playoffs rather than building into the playoffs. That's the biggest challenge for this offense, is to flip last year, be as explosive as they were for the first two-thirds, but not be solely dependent on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, you don't want to live and die by the big play, because when that big play gets taken away, the offense dies. Again, to go back to balance, it's all about having every potential, route, depth of target, the types of weapons you use at your disposal. Mentioned some of the additions that they've made, Gerald Everett from the Rams being another great one. What we didn't talk about, and I think it's worth mentioning here, is the offensive line, because I actually think this offensive line, which they did make a trade for Gabe Jackson, they're in good shape. Like, Dan, you said this is the most talented team. I would actually extend that to the line as well. It's not the best line he's ever played with. That was probably the beginning of Wilson's career, but it's certainly better than those offensive lines in 16, 17, 18. They are good enough. And combined with these skill players, combined with this quarterback, the ceiling is the sky.
Yeah, and I'd even go on top of that and say Chris Carson and his health is a big deal. I'd like to see Russell Wilson back under center a little bit more than he was last year. And I can't underestimate the point of this, that those skill position players, when you say balance, Mina, it's a balance of touches, right? It's about you don't care how guys get their touches anymore, whether it's a jet sweep, a perimeter screen, ball down the field, slant, stick route. It's just about getting guys touches. And they've got five guys that demand them. And it's going to be on Shane Waldron, again, to create those easy things for that offense. Russell to oblige, because we know they're going to be explosive. We know that they've got big playmaking capability. But can they kind of pick you apart to a defense rather than just be, hey, DK, make a special play downfield? Because we were a part of that in Detroit with Calvin. Launch it to Calvin, see if he can make a play. Do the little things, and they become the big things.
Well, I'll tell you what, as you guys have noted, the pieces are all in place for yet another deep run for Seattle. I think a lot of it is simple. Execute, as we saw down the stretch last year, that was not something that did at nearly a high enough level. Still to come on NFL Live, with a potential Rodgers-Packers split on the horizon, what does this mean for the future of the NFC North? Could we see a new king of the North in 2021?
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Earlier this offseason, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers declined a two-year extension that would have made him the highest paid player in the NFL. That according to Adam Schefter. Now, the Rodgers saga is clearly not about money. Maybe it's history repeating itself. Eight quarterbacks have won multiple NFL MVP awards, Aaron Rodgers being one of them. All but Rodgers have played for multiple teams. That is obviously subject to change. Let's get back to the man who broke the news this morning from a perspective and insight. Shefty, what can you add about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
Well, Phil, a lot of people thought Aaron Rodgers might want some control over his situation in Green Bay, but clearly the fact that he turned down this extension indicates that's not the case. And in fact, rather than offering him a contract extension that would have made him the highest paid player in football, it looks like Aaron Rodgers is more interested in a contract reduction than an extension. It looks like the two sides are trying to figure out a way to salvage this relationship to make it work for the short term, because right now it certainly looks like the clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers' time in Green Bay, if it's not already up, and Jordan Love's time as the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers is coming. The question is it going to be this or next season? But it's not far off, and everything the Packers have tried to use this offseason to lure back Aaron Rodgers, meetings on the West Coast, conversations, contract offers, extensions, nothing's worked so far, and now we are 1 week away from the day the Packers are scheduled to be in training camp.
The clock is certainly ticking on not just Aaron Rodgers, but also the Packers and their fortunes, which would look a little bit different if Aaron Rodgers was not there. And ESPN.com's Bill Barnwell released his NFL offensive weapons rankings for all 32 teams in 2021. Here's the top five list. Reigning Super Bowl champion Bucks head up the group, a squad that was just that ranked 14th just 2 years ago. And number two is Dallas, followed by the Titans, who were 22nd just last year. Rounding out the top five, the Browns, the Vikings. Let's bring in Dan and Mina for more here. Dan, when you look at that list with the Vikings ranked number five, if Rodgers is out of the division, do the Vikings become title contenders?
Oh, absolutely. The Vikings would be at the top of that division. And I think their skill position group is fantastic. I mean, Justin Jefferson was remarkable. We know Thielen's fairly good. I mean, losing Kyle Rudolph while he dealt with some injuries, like Irv Smith has got to jump in there. Dalvin Cook is one of the best backs in football. But there are some dependent pieces, right? Like, they're going to be dependent on, like, Chad Beebe maybe or Conklin. So I'm a little bit interested in the fact that the Packers aren't still above there, because if it's not quarterback dependent, Mina, for me, I'm still looking at Devontae Adams Alan Lazard, Valdez Scantling, the addition of Amari Rodgers, Tonyan. I think Jay Sternberger's really good. Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Like, I still think skill group-wise, independent of who the quarterback is, the Packers need to be above the Vikings as good as those two receivers are.
Really?
Yeah, interesting.
I appreciate you listing all of the Packers' talent because I feel like this offseason people have, I don't know, talked about them like they're totally bereft of any skill players, and they actually have a bunch of really good ones. I want to add, too, I love the Amari Rodgers pick. I mean, we didn't, because of all the Rodgers drama, the other Rodgers after the draft, we didn't really get into it, but I think he is such a nice piece for that offense in particular, what he can do in motion and on sweeps and such. But I still lean Vikings if we're going head-to-head with skill players, just because while I think the Packers have the better wide receiver and the better back, having three, Dan, we always talk about groups of three, having that 1-2 punch at wide receiver and then Irv Smith Jr., who I think is very good, puts Minnesota over the top. Also, Dalvin Cook and Aaron Jones are very close. But to Field's point, if you take Rodgers out of the equation, and like you said, Dan, I think Minnesota absolutely takes the NFC North. Because not only do they have all these skill players, they also have a lot of defensive players coming back and coming on. And suddenly this looks like a very balanced team. And it was cool to see them at in the top five in Bill's rankings, jumping up from 17th, because no one anticipated Justin Jefferson having that kind of season. But one player, one draft pick, one wide receiver can really vault you up the rankings quickly. And Justin Jefferson is that special.
Mina, let's go back to the Packers, though, for a second, because you just mentioned balance. The Packers defensively, are we perhaps overlooking the pieces that they have in place for this year on defense?
Yes. Yes, totally. Yeah, I said we talk about the offense like they don't have anyone. People are overlooking the fact that this defense, they've got stars at every level. And we know about the Smiths up front, and I've said on the show, I think Sean Gary is a rising star as a pass rusher who sort of took a leap last year as the season went on. But in the secondary, Jaire Alexander and Darnell Savage, they're some of the two best players at their position in the NFL. Studs. Now, the question is, opposite Alexander, whoever is starting at cornerback, whether it's King or they drafted Stokes this year, they're going to get targeted a lot. Have they addressed that problem? And can you defensive coordinator Joe Barry, I think, address some of the issues they've had with tackling the linebacker position over the years? But if you really look at this Packers depth chart, at every level, there is a lot of talent, and they have the pieces to be one of the more balanced teams in the league.
Man, there is so much uncertainty surrounding Aaron Rodgers, but a little bit of clarity would be great, because this roster is stacked if somehow, some way, these two find a way to make amends for at least this season. We have time for one more thing. And one thing that I often remind myself is that I'm really happy that Dan's wonderful, great four kids got their mother's athletic genes. Dan, care to describe what's going on in this video right now?
Dude, so we're watching the Olympic trials. Shout out to Alan and Felix. I think he like qualified for like her fifth Olympics. And my kids were like, when's gymnastics on this and that? And they're like, can you do a cartwheel? And I was like, shut your faces. Of course I can do a cartwheel. I played pro football for 12 years. And then I did the cartwheel. And then I watched the video of me doing the cartwheel, and my first thought was, dude, how did you play pro football for 12 years? Did you look terrible doing this cartwheel?
That's not a cartwheel. That's not a cartwheel.
The way I see it, I think you stepped on the end line of your living room floor there, I think, Dan.
Oh, man.
Shefty, I don't need it from you too, Shefty.
Oh, man. Well, Dan, we're so lucky to have you on our team. I'm glad that you chose football over gymnastics. That's all we have for NFL Live today. We're back tomorrow with more football. Can't wait. All right.